Yay! Technology. Technology.
Technology.
Technology.
With its doodads and gizmos. I
Whatnot,
hope we have
and
the same idea.
yeah, mug twins. What does your mug say? Does it?
It's very long.
Oh, never mind then.
Can
Oh,
you repeat?
wow. Oh, they're both like dumb mom mugs, where yours is like friendships, sunsets, faith, love, patience, some other shit, and mine's cherish the moment. So we're both like, this is our like soccer mom episode, I guess. It'd be better if we were both drinking box wine, but I'm straight edge and you respect yourself, so
Now and then.
yeah.
Every time the moon's full, I respect myself.
Every so often.
I like the whole positivity approach to this episode, like comfort and smiles and
This is
things
for sure
like
a moment I cherish. So both of our mugs are true.
that. And I believe in the faith that's going on. A lot of this is oddly romantic.
That's weird.
Laughter to kiss your lips.
Ugh, no.
That doesn't even.
That's
That sounds a.
bad.
It sounds nice in theory, but I don't know, actually.
That doesn't sound nice at all.
Like someone laughing while they kiss you.
I mean, human contact is gross enough. We don't need to bring comedy into it. That just makes it more repellent.
What about the rules of improv, F-Stews?
You know, I haven't done improv since whenever it is we stopped being Crook Parade and or Tasty Dirt.
Yeah.
So I guess whenever Ian left the first time, I think that's it's been longer since I did an improv than since I watched Street Sharks. So the rules of improv no longer apply to me. I am an improv outlaw.
Well, you gotta watch Street Sharks every day.
Yeah, true. I wake up every morning like they fight, they bite, fighting evil with all of their might. Street sharks.
Sharks. You
Street
gotta be gene slam.
slamming?
Gene slamming.
Jean slam. What was the when they like slammed into the sidewalk? Didn't they have a catchphrase for that?
I wanna say it was like rip it up or
I think
like.
it must have been something like that.
Or like cow. No, it wasn't
No,
cow.
that's Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Similar, not the same.
Totally different.
Yeah,
Totally different genres and medias.
just completely different.
One's a shark and one's a turtle. Come on.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Also, Ninja Turtles had a better mentor, I feel.
True.
Like, Street Sharks not really outstanding on the adult authority figures in these teens' lives.
No, they were sort of on their own. They had a weird hippie that sort of just videotaped them.
Yeah, which
He might have.
is, I think that's a crime. At least three of them are minors, right? I don't know
True.
about the Ripster, who might be an adult. It was sort of vague on he was like 18, 19, I want to say. But three of them can't videotape them without their parents' consent or release forms.
Yeah.
So, seamy underbelly of Street Sharks.
Was totally illegal what they were doing to those kids.
Yeah. I feel like you're trying to move the conversation past Street Sharks, and I was like, no. Let's stay in Street Sharks for a minute. Got some processing to do. How's your non-Street Sharks life? Whatever component of your life is not about Street Sharks, however, I assume vanishingly small that portion of your life may be. Yeah, tiny.
Much. I miss Street Sharks every day.
Yeah.
I'm waiting to get enough money to finance my gritty reboot with Danny DeVito and Idris Elba. And I'm gonna try and get Rosario Dawson in there somewhere. I don't know.
Starring as
I really want him to be the shark with the torn, like the dude with the torn pants. He was the leader, kind of
the Ripster,
the Ripster.
yeah,
It's Elba.
the oldest one, who's known for his. I had to look this up recently because I had a Twitter conversation about street sharks, and I had forgotten everyone but Shrimp Louie. Who lives on in my heart forever.
I mean, he's the real star.
Yeah, obviously. He's in two episodes, but he wears a yellow suit in one of them, so star billing in my book. The Ripster, who's known for his technological skills, and weirdly, not that he's a shark wearing cowboy boots, which seems more important to me. Just seems like I would prioritize that. That's a lot of complicated mammal fish relations going on there. I want to understand it or be rid of it. Either one. I
You
just
do
need to.
gotta admit, though, it's brave to wear cowboy boots and skateboard.
True. He's a fearless role model to us all. Do you remember who was who when we were watching that with Ethan and Ian, and we figured out who we would be in the Street Sharks, because I don't remember at all. I have no idea.
Okay. Let me hit my backlogs. I want to say that it was. You went straight for Shrimp Louie, I feel like.
I did. I feel like it was like, I don't want to be a street shark. I want to be Shrimp Louie. I was very obsessed with Shrimp Louie.
wanted to be the goofy one. I'm gonna look their names up
Yeah, I feel like
because.
you were Slamu, because he's the youngest and the silliest. He's the goofy one.
There it is.
Yeah.
Ian is totally the Ripster.
Yeah, Ian's 100% the Ripster. Not just because he has a cowboy hat and the Ripster has cowboy boots, although there's just something about his look. It's weird that we have a friend who looks like a street shark, but he's got the look.
Ian totally does look like a street shark.
Oh,
He actually has a picture of him posing with a shark that is basically a street shark.
huh. How deep does the conspiracy go?
I'm like thinking back on our friendship
Yeah,
right now. He does like aquatic places.
never stops moving.
No.
No.
He doesn't sleep with his eyes closed.
Yeah, he coped really well when we were doing Edward 40 Hands, which is kind of like having flippers, but your flippers are 40s. So, because you don't have digits like a shark doesn't. Because sharks don't have fingers. And neither do people who are playing Edward 40 Hands.
Yeah, I can't believe we even got close to finishing that series.
What a joy. I'm glad that it was Street Sharks and Future Card Buddy Fight that we brought together in one beautiful faded moment of trash.
Future Card Buddy Fight. Oh my God. I tried to watch that after, because I'm a masochist, and it still made no sense. I had no idea what was going on.
The first 10 minutes of the first episode recently. I'm not sure why I made that choice. I was just nostalgizing, I guess. It's terrible. It's the worst.
I feel you. Memories, they just, they get inside you like Candiru and mess up your urethra and the rest.
I I should clarify, I meant future hard buddy fight is the worst, not nostalgia per se.
Oh, I misinterpreted.
I mean, they're both the worst. Clearly, given the choice, I would wipe my past completely clean and start over as, like, a wrathful amnesiac.
But, no, memories are great. But future card buddy fight is not.
It's a complicated filming experience. Anyway, so how's your non-TV life going? Or different TV, I guess.
Well, I quit my job, finally.
What? Amazing.
Yeah, I'm a free person.
Congratulations.
I am feeling pretty good, a little terrified, but good.
Yeah.
I'm going to New York up in March.
You have a place? You're going to, live there now?
Yeah, I have a place. I have a few months' rent, and I'm just going to do it.
Holy shit, I am so happy for you.
Thank you.
This is so great!
Yeah, it's gonna be an adventure.
Yeah! I'm just hoping
my face don't get cut, or I like...
That would be a tragedy, yes.
It'll be good. It'll be good.
Yeah, it'll be super good. You're gonna get super, super famous, and then all of us are gonna depend on you to get us super famous, so don't fuck up.
Thanks.
I mean, we support you 110% no matter what, but also you're definitely going to get super famous, so just while we're in on the ground floor of your super fame.
Oh, no doubt. We're going to spend like 80% of our time on boats. that's my plan.
Yeah, that's super good. I feel like you should get a houseboat. Like, that's your eccentric rich person. Hi, cat. Thing you should do is, get yourself a captain's hat and live on a boat and, make people come to your boat for your stand-up specials.
Other than that, you know, I'm just taking it step by step.
That's the only way to take it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, spread them dreams.
You're like the Johnny Appleseed of dreams, Aaron. Planting them across the country for youths to collect.
I have a very big sack of dreams that I like to just drop. as it came out of my mouth.
As your very big sack came out of your mouth, Aaron? Yikes. Yikes.
I've become less good with words, as you surmised.
I feel like it's weird that I haven't become completely inarticulate since I still haven't really tried to get a job because life is very hard. So I just don't talk to anyone all the time now. I just stay inside and never speak. So it's weird that I'm even able to have this conversation, to be honest. It's weird that I haven't, become some sort of cave dweller. Like, those eyeless fish that live in caves. It's weird I'm not that.
Are you going Gollum? Are you just,
I kind of am. Like, pretty much just stay right in this chair all the time, hunched up over... Only instead of the ring, I downloaded Neko Atsume for my phone, so I'm collecting cats.
Is that game where you literally just are a cat lady or a cat person?
Yeah, you put out toys, and then the cats come, and you experience them. You can't, there's no button to interact, so it's not like you can pet them or... fight them, or make them fight each other, right? You just look at them.
That's adorable. What are you doing besides? How are you doing?
I've watched up to season 4 of the IT Crowd in the last 2 days. I'd never watched it before, and I just started putting it in my eyes, and then I'm gonna keep going till I'm done. It's a little out of control.
I mean, it's a fantastic show. Moe's and the other guy. Chris O'Dowd.
Yeah.
And that's where the fucking... So you're already past... You're on the second boss. That guy.
Yeah.
That fucking guy.
That fucking guy.
Yeah, I know all about, like, getting trapped into a TV show, but I've been doing it in a horrible, horrible way.
Yeah?
I'm ashamed.
I'm excited to hear it, because normally you're really not. So, Lord knows I spend enough time trying to shame you for things.
You know, I got no pride, but I actually felt like I did dirty myself.
What are you watching?
I've been watching The Mysteries of Laura, that mystery show with Deborah Messing. And it's so bad.
Yeah.
I know it's bad, but I lie there with my eyes open. Feel my soul slowly dying. it's mummification. It's Netflix mummification.
Yeah, the Mysteries of Laura is the formaldehyde that's drying you on out. I want to make some kind of comparison between aspects of the Netflix layout and, like, canopic jars where they put your organs, but I'm not really familiar with what Netflix looks like because I don't have Netflix, so I don't know how to complete that joke. Is there some sort of... There's, like, a recommended feature, right? That's kind of like a canopic jar because that's where they took your heart out and they put it there, and then they took your brain out and they put it in the next one.
There is a recommendation, and... it is the contents of my heart, pretty much.
Yeah, there you go. Look at that. Completed the metaphor.
My heart is full of Jackie Chan.
Yeah, that's real. The most talented man on earth, I think.
I love Jackie Chan, but I'm not going to go that far.
I am willing to overcommit for the sake of a joke.
I know.
That was just so weary right there. I'm like, yeah, you fucking are. Anyway, what have you been reading lately? Books. We're gonna put the lid back on how much TV I've been watching, and we're gonna shove that out of sight. Like, we're not gonna think about it. It's kind of grim. What have you been reading lately?
Books. I wrote them down, actually.
Oh, shit! I have a list of everything I've read so far this year that I've been maintaining, mostly for the sake of our podcast, but also so I can pretend like I do things besides watch TV.
I know that's so hard. Books.
Comics by preference, because in theory we're doing the podcast. This has been recorded.
This is recorded?
We said we were doing the podcast!
Okay, then, perfect.
I can edit all of this out, I have that power, but we did say podcast.
It's true. I said, use it all. Use it all, because this is uncut. This is real.
Yeah, living our truths.
Oh,
I do feel like we're at hilariously opposite moments. So if we were a literary text someone was consuming as you move on to New York and I become a literal golem sort of hunched over in a chair and never going into the light, we're on very, like, it's a very apropos moment.
Oh, shit. I'm sure I will be just as, if not more, in my little cave with my roommates I don't really know that well, just being like, I'm just gonna play Psychonauts, and when everybody's asleep, I'll eat. My plan for finding a job is literally to go to stand up open mics and just read off my resume.
That is genius on a lot of different levels.
I'm trying to be as much of a hot mess this year as I can.
I believe in you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anyway, comic books. I'm on volume 16 of 20th Century Boys, for the record. Some fucker is doing the same thing as me, where they check out, like, 4 books at a time, and then, like, the next 4. But they're slightly ahead of me, and they take longer to read than I do. So, they have the 4 books that I need next. And if I find them, I'll kill them.
You should.
Yeah.
Because volume 16, where are you in the story? So I don't say anything.
The friend just came back to life in front of the Pope.
Nice.
Yeah. Tensions are high.
The new book of prophecy, and the book gives me all sorts of funny feelings because it's masterful. Can you have as many feelings as I did when you read about Mon Chan, fucking him being in the hospital and just being like, nah, I'm not done yet.
Back fucking at it, and he just walks out of the hospital. Yeah, I felt a feel. He was never my fave before that. I mean, he was cool. He was chill. Supported him. But I was less invested, maybe. But then he's like, yeah, no, I don't. Fine. I'm not going to get my chemotherapy. I'm just going to go. Yeah.
I love it's like friendship. It's a book about friendship. And it's how people use friendship to their own gains, and the group of people who save the world are honestly a bunch of fuck ups. They're just fuck ups.
They're just straight up fuck ups. Yeah.
Who is your favorite character, or do you have one?
Oh man. I mean, I also keep losing track of who the characters are sometimes because there's so fucking many of them. I feel like I really like Kenji's niece, because she's just so can-do, and also obsessive. What's his name? The dude with glasses who, like, was leading the resistance while everyone else was deep undercover, and he's like, can I stop being in charge now? And everybody's like, no, but you're in charge now. And he's like, but what if I stopped being in charge? And they're like, nah, that's not an option.
Toshi, okay.
I'm super fond of him at this point.
He tries really hard.
Which is my ideal trait in a human being. That's like, I aspire to try really hard all the time. I do try really hard all the time, but not at anything good, just to Shrek jokes. So imagine if I could somehow redirect that trying into something that fucking matters at all.
I mean, You have been killing it with the Shrek jokes recently.
It's true. Yeah. I do. I can't take all the credit for that because obviously Charlie and Bolivar are really bringing their A games, but.
Shout out.
I do my best all the time.
I'm going to look up one of my faves of yours if I can. Yeah, I have faves.
Yeah, I mean, of course. There, who doesn't have a personal ranking of Shrek jokes where they're like, "This is the best one."
Some people have told me I could take my DreamWorks puns to a professional level, but I'm happy with it just as Shrek creation.
a recent vintage, but nevertheless strong.
It's flawless.
Yeah, I think Histoshrectomy is the one that I'm sort of the most pleased with as, like, a visceral phrase. Like, hey, Histoshrectomy. But...
That one was too raw for me.
That's fair. Anyway, you said you've written down what you've been reading. What's your top pick lately?
My top pick is I really like Clean Room by Gail Simone.
Oh, I feel like you told me to read that, and then instead I read a billion other things.
That's fair.
Yeah, I should have read it. This is very consistent with how this podcast works, is we're like, we're going to trade recommendations, and then neither of us actually follow up on that. So tell me more. Like, does it have a car?
It does.
That's a reference to Greece. What a cool, relevant topic.
Did it put up a fight?
Yikes.
Still weird.
Super weird.
Greece Live. Don't see it. It's a waste of everybody's time.
Nice. I wasn't going to. I didn't like Greece when my high school put it on. I'm not going to care about it now that I've graduated. Besides, I have so many hours of IT crowd left to... Anyway, Clean Room by Gail Simone. What's its deal?
So Clean Room is a psychological thriller comic about a young woman going to avenge her fiance's death.
Nice.
Her fiance went to a psychotherapist to get therapy, and then one day came home and blew his brains out. And the woman running the psychotherapy has a bunch of clients that go through weird, almost like psychic episodes where they see demons. They go through their past and relive all the horrible shit they did inside a clean room, which is, at first glance, just a blank white room. And they get strapped in a chair. It starts off so normal, and then some dude gouges his eyes out. It's sort of like that. It's like from 0 to 10 in every issue.
I would contend that being strapped to a chair in a blank white room is not a 0. That's at least a 5.
That's a 5?
Because that's fucking weird. That's a weird thing to do. It's a weird idea. That's next door neighbors with psychological torture. Like,
yeah.
Maybe a 3, right? And I don't want to necessarily go up to a 5 right away. But like, that's not a 0.
It's not a 0. I've been dulled by years of watching horrible things.
Yeah, truly, you are the you're what the media warned us would happen. It's like all those concerned mothers groups who were like, "You can't play Grand Theft Auto. You won't care about it when we murder real people." You're that.
That's sorry. I feel like I'd be bummed if I saw someone getting murdered, but reading about someone getting murdered or seeing someone get murdered on TV, I'm cool with it.
Well, you're moving to New York, so you'll have the chance to watch someone get murdered, probably.
Yeah, I'll just, like, hang out in seedy places and be like, is anybody murdering anybody?
That can be you read your resume at the stand-ups, at the stand-up comedies, and then you also follow it up with, so, anybody getting murdered? Anybody getting murdered tonight? That's your crowd work.
I should just become a psychic detective.
Yeah, you definitely should. Okay, so she has to investigate this this extremely dodgy psychotherapy thing. Is that the deal?
That's pretty much the deal. She goes in as like she pretends to be a reporter, and she's asking her a bunch of questions about her treatment, how it works, and Astrid, the psychotherapist, is very open about it and sort of like, you should try it out. You should try it out. And she's just like, nah. But she drops the whole act, and I'm just going into the issues.
That's great.
I don't want to spoil anything.
Mm.
Do you care?
No.
Okay. So she's eventually gets asked to be a part of the organization because Astrid is haunted by something. I don't know what it is yet.
Some kind of haunty thing.
And this thingy has been possessing her clients, it looks like.
So she should really just get out of the psychotherapy biz, because I would leave the worst Yelp review if I went into psychotherapy and got possessed. I would be wicked pissed. I would be like, 0 stars, bad experience.
I got possessed here. No thank you. Will not come back.
One star for the polite receptionist, 0 stars for being fucking possessed.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's not that Astrid is innocent either. She's clearly
choosing to be a psychotherapist when she knows she's prone to being possessed by whatever violent fiend this is. Because yeah, seems like she's culpable. She seems culpable.
Culpable. She knew what was going to happen, I feel like. And there's a whole big, it's a mystery. I think it's good. It's super Gail Simone with the art. It's basically, it looks like her Batman, Batgirl stuff.
Yeah.
But a lot more bloody.
So that's interesting to know. Like, I don't know. There's probably something about, like, superhero look drawings, right? Deployed to different genre ends.
Yeah.
Because, like, 100 Bullets is similarly bloody, right? Like, if we're just thinking of series that are bloody and intriguey, 100 Bullets is up there, and it's also coming out from, who's Clean Room coming out from? Who's publishing it?
Vertigo. Yeah. DC.
Yeah. Well, Vertigo is importantly not DC in that it's, I mean, it is, but it's importantly not there, it's an imprint of, right?
Right.
It's where they're sequestering.
A subsidiary.
Yeah, right. They're making a statement if they put something out in Vertigo rather than DC, which is, we want this in a different, we want this to come out differently. And 100 Bullets was Image?
I want to say Vertigo? It was Vertigo, too.
Yeah, it must have been. I just assume anything that I like feel like I should like more than I end up liking comes out from Image.
Image has been killing it this year.
I feel like we have a weird difference of opinion on this one. We were both very excited at the start of the year, and now I'm like, Jesus Christ, why am I still spending money on Island?
You've been keeping up with that?
I have, because I figured we'd talk about it on the podcast, so I should try, but I'm like,
Last few ones have been sort of poopy.
Yeah, that's where I'm at with that. Anyway, 100 Bullets art is similarly, like, stylized, but still, like, not expressionist to superhero comics, right? Like the majority of superhero comics, where it's very important that you see
close-up faces, action.
They're like alluding to naturalism while still being mostly stylized, but 100 Bullets is much more noir inflected or whatever. Like his whole look is much more dramatically stylized than most superhero comics will admit to being. So seeing something that's, and this is without looking up the artwork at all, so whatever, I'm just gonna conjecture. But you know, Vertigo putting something out that's like much more bloody, but that's aimed at different, or that's visually in the same realm, that's like visually, that seems like it's making a different kind of claim about like the realism of that world.
Yeah. It's supposed to be, it is in the real world. There's like no superheroes. There is supernatural stuff, but it's not like everybody knows about it.
Yeah.
And it reflects that a lot. The only weird stuff is the stuff that goes down in the clean room, pretty much. Everything yeah. else is very, like, decoupage. Oh, modern America. Fucking look at this Prius and...
Fucking look at this Prius is solid gold as far as critiques of modern America go. If I were, like, waking up in the morning to critique American consumerism, fucking look at this Prius would be right up there in terms of how I'd want to see that affected.
I'll never understand people's things with fashion or fucking...
Priuses?
Or Priuses.
I kind of understand Priuses. They're supposed to get you good gas mileage, right? Isn't that the idea of having a Prius, is you pay less for gas?
I'm actually going to type in what's the big deal with Priuses.
Great.
It is the gas mileage.
Yeah.
You're right.
I mean, I'm always right, but... Okay, so you're reading that. Is there anything else that's come out lately that you're hyped? Is that out in... Is there a trade now, or how far are they?
They're on issue 4, so there's no trade yet.
Cool. So still early. So presumably by the time I finish editing this, it's going to be up to volume 10 in trades. But still early for people who want to get on the hype wagon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get on it now, because I'm sure they'll make a weird series out of it eventually.
Is it supposed to be a limited miniseries right now, or is it an ongoing?
It's ongoing.
Like, how... Like, indefinite? Or is it, like, slated to have an end?
I don't know, actually.
Yeah.
It seems like it could go...
For a long-ass time?
Yeah.
Another thing it has in common with 100 Bullets, then. Just an ability to go on... to wear out its welcome. I mean, what?
It's 100 issues. They did what they said.
Yeah, that's true. They did. I was just cranky about it by the end.
Why don't you like 100
Bullets? We addressed this already on this very same podcast. I just wanted it to be more giving old ladies briefcases to extract their revenge and then seeing what they do. I was not into the whole conspiracy.
That's fair. It's okay.
I'm much more into exploring the moral gray areas of the wronged old ladies of America than I am into the Illuminati.
But the Illuminati is everywhere.
Sure, but I care about old ladies. That's like my buy-in point for the series. Anyway. Is that all you've been reading? Is reading that and watching Galavant? Or what else have you been up to with comic books?
I I've been reading a lot. I'm still reading. I Hate Fairyland.
Still good? Still doing everything you want it to?
I'm getting bored of it, honestly. It's pretty much everybody in Fairyland hates this little girl or older girl, and she's just like, they added a new character that's gonna find the key. It's all the same stuff, pretty much. They haven't done anything.
It does seem like kind of a one-note premise, doesn't it? Of like, it's Fairyland, but brutal.
It's still very brutal. There's still a lot of bloodshed, but it's just this. It's a cute little girl being like, I hate everything. I'm gonna shoot things and decapitate cute puppies.
Yeah.
And they threw another little girl in the mix, and she's the adverse. She's supposed to be a counterbalance to this other little girl. And I get where they're going with it. She's gonna find the key, and the original one's gonna be stuck there, or the original one's gonna have to kill this really nice,
yeah,
innocent, killing innocent, pretty much.
Yeah. Not that there's anything wrong with killing an innocent. We've all been there.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah.
There are some problems that can only be solved with an innocent's blood.
It's true. We've all woken up with that kind of morning where we're like, oh, guess I gotta slaughter the weak today. But sometimes that story gets a little cliche.
Yeah, do any other... I don't know, I'll keep reading it. I've liked Citizen Jack, but I'm having similar problems with that one, too.
What issue is that up to now? Because I've not really gone to the comic store in a minute. Is it issue 3 now? I have a pull, so I'm not, like, betraying Sam Humphrey's faith that I'll continue to purchase his products here. I just haven't actually gone to do it.
I think it's up to issue 3. It's still good. It's starting to get a little tedious with the vibe of power and the...
Do you feel like that's gonna read differently in the trade? I feel like that's a problem that happens with, like, storytelling in monthlies, is like, if you're pacing it for the trade, because people make fun of the old superhero comics for being too frenetic, being too like, everything's happening at once, or like cramming too much into one spot and not like drawing out their storytelling. But now, if you're pacing for a trade, it's a bunch of months of like, yeah, okay, fucking get to the point.
I do think that's true. There's only so many cliffhangers I can take before I lose interest.
Yeah.
He's doing good. I think Citizen Jack is way better at pacing than a lot of the stuff out there today. But
and it's only issue 3, so like, we can't really... I don't know, to me, you can't really have a sense. At issue 3, you can definitely know if you're, like, interested enough to keep going by issue 3. But I feel like evaluating pacing on 3 issues is kind of tricky. Because that's not a lot of pages. Even in something with, like, light advertising. 3 issues isn't a lot.
I guess. I'm antsy, though.
That's valid. I think it's super valid to, like, want something that's quicker. But it's hard for me to judge the storytelling in something until, like... But then because it's monthlies, right, by the time you have a sense of, like, whether or not the story is going well, it's been, like, a year, and you've given them a year's worth of your money, and you become deeply resentful. At least that's what's happened with me in New 52 Swamp Thing, which I bought for, like, a year and a half, and then rolled in with, like, please get this away from me, end this misery... and the people at Modern Myths looked at me like I was crazy because I was very agitated about getting Swamp Thing out of my life.
Do you think you'll ever forgive Jeff Lemire?
No.
Damn. that was a very quick answer.
We can move on past that point, but I don't forgive. That's not who I am.
That's fair.
Standing. Yeah. So you also are feeling a little burnout on island, is what I picked up there as well. You're a little like, okay, what are we fucking doing?
Yeah, there's only like one comic in each of them that I'm like, I dig this.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of else going for it.
And I feel like with anthologies, you're always expecting to like some and not like others of it, but when it's one and when the cover price is like $8.
I ain't paying $8 for one good comic.
Yeah, especially not when it's like short. Right. Like, I've paid $8 for many comics, but that's a slightly different economy of choice making, and also I'm a dummy.
You do like your napkin comics.
Yeah, I honestly, if someone decided to print their comic on a literal bar napkin, and then you had to figure out unfolding it and folding it back up, I would lose my terrible, stupid mind over it. Like, if someone was like, this comic is printed exactly in the form of a bar napkin, I'd be like, that is genius! I want 20! It'd be terrible. No one should ever do that, because I would spend all my money on it.
You should keep that under wraps.
Yeah, I should. I'm not gonna edit this out, because if someone wants to just come for my money that way, they can, I guess. But, I'm a Nimrod for that. Which actually, let me look at my little list. The thing that I was most excited about that I just read, I've been reading, like, a lot of shitty fucking manga still, because my life is a disaster, but I got one of the mini kush that I didn't pick up when it first came out, Limonchik, it's fucking titled in Russian, but it is the story of Laika the Space Dog. It's by Mikhail Sommer. Came out from Kuj in late 2015, I want to say. But Laika the Space Dog comes back to Earth, blows it up.
Okay.
It's so good. It's like super beautiful. I know I say that about like every comic I like, because A, I'm extremely shallow. I'm like, storytelling, who gives a shit? I just want to look at some pretty pictures of this dog blowing up the goddamn planet.
So, this is a manga?
No, that was just incidentally. Hang on, let me grab it, because I think I have it right on hand. I should, anyway. If I don't... Maybe not. Fuck. What have I done with all of my comics? I organized my comics the other day, but not successfully or well.
You ain't boxing?
I have boxes, but that's not really a solution. Okay, well... not put it with the other mini cushions? Fuck! Okay, well, maybe I can't show you. This is what I should prep for our episodes rather than just like fucking winging it. Okay. No, it's a mini comic. I was saying I've mostly been reading trash manga. Just putting a lot of that into my eyes. I was considering miming a syringe there. I was just like, but that went a little too far. But then I did it anyway. Okay. But no, this is a mini comic. It comes out from Kuj, which is this Latvian, I think they're Latvian, publisher who put out a comics magazine of like Baltic comics, but then they also do Minikoosh, which are standalone issues.
Minikoosh. That's just fun to say.
It really is. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it right, but I love them. That are like, I lent you a couple of them, I think. I lent you Mathematical Solutions for Global Crisis by
Yeah.
Jesse Jacobs, I think.
I think I know which one you're talking about.
And then also, we talked about the issue that Burliak did, I think, when I was telling you about how he's the best. Anyway, this is from that same series, and it's the beautiful story of Laika the space dog who comes back to Earth, visits the grave of one of the scientists, is like, I forgive you, and then blows up the Earth.
That does sound amazing.
Yeah, it's super good. It's so good. Man, I wish I actually had put it somewhere sensible rather than putting it somewhere real dumb, which is what I have apparently actually done. Because I'm a dummy. A literal dummy. It's in, yeah, it's. Oh, he's put most of it up online. It's in Pinks and Blues. So there's Laika, who's brown and white and mutt-looking, floating around a cool blue earth, cool, like, cool tone, not like, cool, man. And then as it blows up in mostly pink. So nice with the color look that it has going on there. Yeah, it's. I don't have anything more thoughtful to say. I admit it was mostly visceral, like, ah, the dog comes back for revenge! Because I'm simple-minded. Super, super enjoyable. So that's my top comic of it was published in 2015, but I just read it now.
Have to look that up.
Spelled Limonchik.
One more time.
Limonchik, all one word. It's by Mikkel Sommer, Mikkelsonner.
Oh, that is nice.
Yeah.
That dog is so therapy.
That's my other favorite part of it, is the dog has no, it's not like, you would think that this story would be about giving Laika back her dignity, right? Because she was shot off into space to die for very little reason, but she just looks like she's got a butt for a face for most of the comic. Extremely undignified. So good.
Okay.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it's super good. What's the other shit that I've read lately? I read Intelligent Sentient by Luke Ramsey, which is abstract, and I don't recommend that you read it unless you decide to go to the library. Which, have you sorted out your fear of libraries? Are you still.
I went to the library yesterday.
How was that?
I did not go in. I just sort of looked at
Fair and
it.
flourish. If you move to New York City with perhaps the finest public library in America, and you continue to fail to get a fucking library card, I'm gonna have to move back to the East Coast to fight you. Don't make me do that.
Shit. I don't know. Okay. Fine. I will. I promise. I will get a library card.
Good, because I will fucking come fight you. I'm not above that. You will benefit tremendously from having access to the comic section of the library. Just like, you need to bring that into your life.
You could just come and say hi too. We don't have to fight.
I don't really understand how to maintain friendships. That's not really one of my skills. I'm just really good at getting angry and fighting. So.
That's fair.
Yeah. What else is on my list? Oh shit. I read Sam Alden's Hawaii 1997 finally, which is like vaguely internet controversial for being are you familiar with Sam Alden at all? He did Wicked Chicken Queen, which was a extremely silly book. Kind of nice looking little book, but extremely fucking silly. They find an egg, the villagers of this island find an egg, and then a chicken hatches out and they make it queen and it marries some lady, and then the lady dies and the chicken turns evil, and that's the comic. Yeah.
Sam Alden, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then Hawaii 1997 is, like, drawn in what's sort of the signature sketchy, by which I mean pencil line heavy look. Like, it looks like someone has, like, taken a pencil and aggressively drawn a lot of lines. Just, like, not, like, aggressively, like, Jackson Pollock style, like, feel my emotions with the pencil, but, like, it's very line worky. Not, like, clear line. Whatever the opposite of clear line is, but not in a texture way, not like they've done shading, just, like, there's a lot of fucking lines.
Dirty line.
What?
Dirty line.
Yeah, sure, let's call it that. Because it is similarly, like, they're not using tone, they're just using a lot of lines. And it's, I think it's supposed to be autobiographical. This kid on vacation with his family, then he meets some other kid who's a lady kid, and they hang out and have a magical evening, and the last panel she turns around and is like, you will look for me your entire life, and vanishes. Which is a heavy-handed statement about memory and affection, right?
Yeah, that's like, come on, dude.
Yeah, it's been criticized, not without some merit, for being, like, a little tropey about the way that women and pursuit, but because they're both, like, seven, right, they're little kids. I was not especially reading it that way. I was just like, oh, because, like, when you're a kid, it's very easy to become attached to people. And then just in general, as a person, you're going to encounter a lot of people in your life who you'll be attached to, and then they'll be gone. And you won't really have any recourse to do something about it. And this is more true when you're a kid, because you don't have a lot of ability. Like, you're vacationing with your family. And this was before Facebook, right? Because it's 97. So,
yeah, no cell phones.
It was just much easier for people to vanish from your life.
I'm sure you think hard enough. I got people like that, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I have a very clear memory of being on camping vacation with my family, which was a terrible mistake that was made when I was a child. It was we went camping a bunch.
You hate the outside.
I mean, I hate the outside now. When I was a kid, I liked the outside. It was very about nature. I learned better around age 13. I was like, wait, no, Gollum. I guess technically Gollum's always camping, right?
He's camping, but it's his house.
Yeah.
It's a weird...
Yeah, he's complicated. He's a complicated figure in the history of shut-ins. I'm a much less complicated shut-in. I just don't like experiencing weather.
A History of Shut-Ins would be a great book.
Yeah, that's a super good comic. We should do that. That should be our cool comic collaborative project that comes out of the trades. It'd be like A History of Violence, but instead, not leaving your house.
Just a whole bunch of takeout.
And yeah. Like,
looking at pictures.
Yeah, I mean, I have a really clear memory of this kid I met. She taught me the best way to walk up slides. We were like 7 and 8, I think. She was a little older than me. And that was her, she was very excited to share this information, and we hung out for the like week that we were camping. And then there was no, I don't know her name, but there's literally no way that I could ever be in touch with her again. But there's always the little shadow in the, I mean, not like I'm dwelling on it constantly, because I'm not a fucking, I mean, I am a crazy person, but I'm not that kind of crazy person. But there's, you know, there's the question of, like, how that potential turned out, right? Of, like, these people who existed in your life for a space, and now functionally no longer exist to you.
That's real. The myriad of interactions in our lives that sort of shape us, but are just, they're not long enough to be important, but they're long enough to have an effect.
Yeah. Yeah, they exist very clearly in that moment for you. And who knows how they read that, right? I strongly doubt that that kid remembers teaching me to walk up slides. Maybe she does. Maybe she spends a lot of her time being like, what happened to that kid? But definitely not. Like, it's not, like you're saying, it's not formative.
Right.
It's not central to your narrative of who you are, but it still matters.
Like the rapper to Candy.
Yeah. Yeah. So people read Hawaii 1997 as like the girl that got away trope, and I, possibly because there is no shred of romance in my withered soul, was like, oh, like the sentimental connections we have to the strangers who drift in and out of our lives. Absolutely. Kids are weird. And that was my read of that one.
I'm gonna check that out. I feel like I read that book almost every year, though. In some form.
Yeah. I think it works better for me as a mini comic. Because you're not, like, devoting chapter book time to it.
Yeah.
And also because of the way that I think the penciling lets it convey or take on an aspect of memory a little bit more. Because memories are kind of sketchy, right?
1997. What a weird year.
I don't remember much about it.
That was a fucking... Nirvana was no more.
Were you extremely into Nirvana at age, like, 9 or whatever?
My friends were, and I pretended to be.
Were you a tiny poser? Is that what was going on? That's amazing. I'm so glad to know that.
Oh, I'm still a poser, baby.
You're probably the most authentic person I know, though.
Yeah, it takes practice to be this authentic. Uh-huh. I'm trying to remember something I read that was crazy.
Yeah?
Did we talk about He Is a Good Boy?
I don't think so.
He Is a Good Boy is a webcomic that Casey Green is doing.
Oh.
And it's about this little acorn that's trying to save his tree from dying.
Wow.
And it's like, it sounds cute, but it's the darkest. Casey Green has a lot of stuff going on.
I assumed because it's Casey Green and he's always a little, like, he's got a lot. He's just, he is a lot sometimes.
It's, the art is so good. It's like cartoony, but it's some of the, it's like that super, it's almost, it's like, It's like Richard Sala, but it's not as detailed. It's like a cartoony Sala.
Nice. I am looking at it now. Oh, wow, that's somebody fucking melting on the front page of that right now?
Yeah.
Wow. You know what it reminds me a little of? Is Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Yeah.
Like, it's that combination of very clean, cartoon renderable lines, but then also a somewhat more muted color palette than, like, for cartooniness. More blues, greens, purples, and then cartoony distortion, not pushed to actual grotesque, but, like, visiting the neighborhood.
It's a good visit. I think it's his best work, honestly.
Nice!
There's a spider doctor in it, and it actually scared me. It's a scary book.
Okay.
It's a coming-of-age thing, but it's like, coming-of-age sucks.
Nice! I'm about that. I will come back to that. Which reminded me of the webcomic that I caught up on, that I, like, made a note to tell you about, because it's super good. It's called Shooting Around, and the idea is this girls' basketball team survives the apocalypse. It's the zombie apocalypse, and this girls' basketball team, this high school basketball team, survives and becomes an apocalypse survival team.
Damn. Yeah, that sounds great.
It's super, super cute. I feel like the way that I keep stumbling on it, and it's been several times now, has been it keeps showing up in lists of, like, diverse webcomics, because people love making those lists. But that's... What?
I've never seen a list like that.
You spend a lot less time on the social justice parts of Tumblr than I do.
I still don't have a Tumblr or an Imgur.
Yeah, I made a Tumblr for my other podcast. Not that I didn't already have one, but we're going to pretend I didn't. I don't, like, participate. I just consume content that way. When I'm not consuming the IT crowd, I'm just, like, letting Tumblr happen. But it's... that's how I found it. But I feel like what I'm mostly excited about is the ways that it takes the idea of, like, the apocalypse hardens you, right? We see a lot of that in, like, Mad Maxian, which I think of just because I spent a lot of time talking about the idea of, like, 80s action heroes and Mad Max for the other podcast of, like, and it's not just apocalypse stuff, but, like, war is hell, kind of, like, you have to leave, but it takes that idea, and it's like, okay, but what if this were a group of high school girls who are still fundamentally high school girls? They just talk about their crushes a lot, but then also you have to see them make hard choices, and deal with the fact that, like, they have to kill people sometimes.
Damn, this looks good.
But then also, like, what if they really want some makeup and some chocolate? And then later on, and it takes a while to get to this point, they meet other groups of survivors who are composed differently. They're not a tight-knit team of best friends and then their mentor, their coach, who's super, super delightful. He's a very level-headed sweetie who just, like, wants to take care of them, but also is not really suited to the apocalypse because he's just, like, a nice guy.
Yeah, they're always the first ones to get it right in the head.
But they protect him. Like, he's much less naturally good at killing people than these teen girls who, like, even though they're, like, struggling with some aspects of the apocalypse, they get pretty good at killing zombies. Just, they're pretty athletic. Like, they're a good basketball team. But then they all have different ways of working through what it means that they're, like, killing people when it's zombies. And then they meet other groups of survivors. I think at some point they encounter the military who've taken over, I think it's an old school, and, like, set it up as, like, Survivor Central, but the girls don't want to join because they're like, that's too much of a risk. And then you encounter scavenger groups and a different group of teens who are less closely knit that operate a little differently, and they have to figure out sort of, or, and there's a two twins who they meet who are like really only invested in each other. So you sort of encounter that versus the team and they're shifting sort of all the different friendships that are contained in a group, right?
Oh, shit.
But against the backdrop of, it's literally the zombie apocalypse.
That sounds delightful.
It's so cute. It's such a cute, sweet, occasionally rips your heart out a little bit, so be ready for it, comic. And it's nicely drawn, too. It's like, clearly a little bit manga-inspired. But not distractingly.
That's good.
Yeah.
No sparkly eyes. No.
Occasionally, but they're deployed thoughtfully.
Oh, this is cute.
Yeah. And I mean, it's justified that it's on all the diverse webcomic lists, right? It's, I'm never just interested in something because it's like hashtag representation. Not that that's not important, but like that's not sufficient to recommend something necessarily. Depends, sometimes it is. But it's like very successful at having a bunch of different kinds of people in it, similar to an actual high schooler apocalypse. So, check. Super good.
It's on the list.
Yeah.
Would you ever jump a train to escape a dystopian and cruel leader?
I feel like I want to say I would, right?
Yeah.
Realistically, I'm very afraid of being crushed to death by a train.
Mm.
It would have to be pretty fucking dystopian.
I feel that. I would like to jump on a train, not from the ground, but from a...
Like from above?
From above.
That does feel safer somehow. It's definitely not. Yeah. But it feels safer to jump, like, down onto a train. Maybe because gravity has to do most of the work. I don't really believe in my upper arm strength. Like, you drum, so I assume you're at least better than I am at having arm muscles. But, like... Because, like, the most I exert myself on a regular basis is to turn a page, and that's really all on the wrist. So, you have better train survival odds than I do, but I still wouldn't bet on either of us.
I have a lot of cushion that would, I would, like, try to land on my stomach or, like, in a roll.
Yeah.
And hope that there isn't anything open, and then I just... shimmy down into the compartments.
Yeah, that's thoughtful. That's a good move.
I thought about this
a lot. Like, is this a regular concern for you?
I think about escape plans a lot.
That's super valid.
Just in case.
I admit I just checked Neko Atsume on my phone. That was that moment where I was like, did the cats bring me any gifts? Yes, they did.
That's okay. I'm not a cat.
I value you tremendously, but it's also very important that I just keep up to date with the cats.
There was this weird series that was like, it's a small publication right now.
Uh-huh.
It's another anthology thing. It's called Criminal Comics, I think.
Yeah.
And it's based out of New York, and it's all like crime stories, but they're not noir. They're just weird, weird fucking stories. I'm gonna check this because it wasn't a dream, I think. It was real.
I mean, if you are just dreaming of a tiny crime themed comics thing. Maybe you can make that your lived reality. Maybe it's a sign. The universe is telling you to become a crime mini comic maker.
I'm so bad at drawing.
That's fine. So are all people who do mini comics.
It's the only other thing I've been reading. I revisited. I felt like I wasn't sad enough, so I read Oh, You Saw Me, Poon Poon again.
Yeah.
It's that weird comic about the bird kid growing up.
Oh, this is the one you've been telling me to read for almost exactly a year and that I still haven't fucking read.
Yeah, it's... I think you gotta be in the right place, because... It's like 20th Century Boys in the way.
Okay.
It charts a whole life, but it's more like focused on one person, and this person is like a disillusioned kid who thinks he's a bird.
And so it's kind of the opposite of 20th Century Boys, which is like this kid keeps not being disillusioned, right? Like when the rest of us would just get properly disillusioned. Kenji is like, now I've discovered friendship and just I'm really gonna power through.
Yo, you're right. It is almost exactly, it's this kid being like, becoming more and more like, I can only trust myself.
Yeah.
And I talk to God.
Because Kenji and pals were all much more disillusioned at the beginning. And then they, like, found something to fight for, and it's each other.
That's beautiful.
It's corny as hell, is what it is. But, yeah, that's an interesting reference point to say that this is Bird Kid getting more and more isolated versus... So two different approaches to middle age ennui.
I found it. It's Felony Comics.
Aha!
Felony Comics is a little anthology out of New York, which is sort of in the vein of Islands. It's not as long, and they don't do like this is who did this. It's just a bunch of weird comics that get mashed. It's almost like that
game.
Oh,
it's got Alex Deegan and Ben Urkowitz. I'm familiar with those guys, and then Benjamin Mara did the cover, I guess. Yeah, I know who those people are. Yeah, okay, I actually heard about this a while back. I just didn't follow up on it because I'm lazy. Nice.
It's good. It's weird, though.
Yeah?
It's this guy who can change his face, and he's sort of like the crypt keeper and introducing all this stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then it goes into, like, various felonies that people do and all the shit that happens because of said felonies.
Nice. So, little 100 bullets-y.
Little 100 bullets.
So, like, early 100 bullets. Not, like, late 100 bullets. You know, the good part of 100 bullets.
Pre-bad bullets.
You know, you like the whole series, but I am much more fickle, so.
I can't help it. I'm a sucker for violence and, like, revenge.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's what I like. I don't know.
No, it's know thyself, right? That's important. It's good to be consistent in your brand.
I'm still branding.
Yeah, gotta live it to 100%. Live to the max. Live to the max is not the appropriate word for staying at home and reading violent comic books. That's like not the correct thing at all, but gonna go with it anyway.
That's what you should call this one. You should just change the name of the podcast to Live to the Max.
No, it's too late. We're committed. Our brand is set. That can be the subtitle. The trades live to the max.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so that's, I'll look into that. That'll be my commitment that I make, is I'll check that out. And then maybe Sad Bird Kid, if I remember, and if I can't get the next volumes of 20th Century Boys.
Yeah. There's a lot of head cutting off in this.
Nice. Nothing's as fun like decapitation.
It's in there somewhere. Oh, shit.
Can't have a capital time without decapitation.
Shrekiation. No, that's bad.
No, that doesn't work.
I'm scared of this.
Good try. Doesn't work.
I reached.
Yeah, you, like Icarus, flew too close to the sun, and now you've drowned in the ocean.
Flew too close.
Yeah.
I got too close to the Shrek.
Yeah. Shrekarus.
You make it seem so easy.
I spent years of my life training to be like this. So, yes and, Shrek. Just gotta, yes and.
Oh, shit. I gotta go get to practice.
Yeah. Super, super good podcasting with you, as always. Street Shreks. That's what I didn't say earlier that I should have. Street Shreks!
Ripster and Donkey hanging out.
Yeah, it would be super good. That's the crossover that's gonna make us $1 million.
I'll call Eddie Murphy.
Because you have his number on your personal phone? You're just besties with Eddie Murphy secretly?
I'm just going to tweet him a bunch.
There you go. That works. Okay. Super, super fun talking to you. We should do that more often, even though you're going to go to New York and be famous. Yay, podcast. Have a good practice.
Thank you. I'm going to hit you up this week because I got no work anymore.
Oh, yeah. Now we're both weird cave dwellers.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Later, buddy.
Later, homie. Yeah.